Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Rachel Wright. Hope everyone is enjoying this rainy Saturday. Today's show is going to be a little different than what I normally talk about. I normally speak about my journey, but today we will see what it was like for family and friends to help me recover from a kidney transplant. I will still give my weekly recap of my diabetic challenge. I had appointments, meetings, speaking engagements all week. I did not do a good job of keeping track in my food diary while I was traveling. Therefore, I missed a few recordings. I think I only recorded Monday and Friday's eating. I didn't do a good job of monitoring everything I was eating. So schedule was definitely challenging. Did make an adjustment on medications, taking them at a different time. I think last week I spoke about the challenge of the food with the medicine and the timing. So I'm going to try something a little different this week, is to eat breakfast between 9 and 10. Even though I'm going to be exercising prior to that, I'm going to schedule a breakfast time that's a little bit later. A lunchtime, still keeping that at the same between 1 and 2 p.m., and then scheduling a dinner time between 5 and 6 p.m. I found that when I don't wait on the meals and I actually take the medications, within that time frame, the glucose levels have remained at a normal level. And still waking up at 6 a.m. to start the day, doing my exercises roughly about 7 p.m. And what I'm seeing is a consistent level of normal glucose in the morning and at bedtime, but occasionally I'm still seeing a spike in the glucose levels during the lunch and dinner. I think that has been attributed to food selections. It also probably has been attributed to more stress on a daily basis. I did email the endocrinologist on Thursday to keep her updated on the changes that I made to the diet, the exercise modifications, and what the glucose levels were looking like throughout the day. She was pleased with the progress that I'm making, and my next endocrinology appointment isn't scheduled until September the 28th. I do have a follow-up scheduled with my nephrologist next month. So he will be doing lab work, which will include a fasting glucose level, as well as an A1C level. So again, I will keep you updated next week on how the week went, if I saw any major changes, and I hope that's helping people that are type 2 diabetic and who need some extra tips and motivations to get started. Now on to today's discussion. This is definitely a little bit different than what I'm normally talking about. Today's topic, how to help the loved one, which is me, recover from a kidney transplant. What I did, along with my marketing team was to send out a questionnaire to a few family members and friends who were involved in my care from the first appointment that I decided to have a kidney transplant, which was meeting with transplant coordinators, until today. I wanted them to come on the show, but some of them preferred to share their thoughts on paper, which is fine. The following questions were asked. We asked four questions. I didn't see the answers until just a few moments ago when I opened the envelope. So what you're hearing and my responses is accurate, honest of what I'm seeing today. I don't know if that's a good idea. We'll see what the responses were and how they felt about helping me recover. So the first question was, what were the biggest challenges helping Rachel recover from a kidney transplant? So I'll read the question, then I'll read down the answers. I'll go on to the next question. And then I will give my reaction at the end of these. So first answer was time constraints. Second, she required a lot of care the first 30 days. Third, making sure she took her daily medications on time. Concerned I had to know the side effects of each medication. Making sure she did not have any visitors due to susceptibility of the infection. Calling and texting friends daily on her medical status. Making sure no visitors came to the hospital during her stay. Reminding her she's a soldier. Okay. Next question was, did you learn anything new about Rachel during her recovery process? Uh-oh, now here's where it's going to get sticky. Okay, the first answer was, she's a finicky eater. Second, she was calm, cool, and collected until the surgeon came out. Three, she is very bossy, LOL. Okay. She wanted her laundry folded, even though she was staying in the house. Why? Question mark, question mark. She wants everything her way or not at all. Extra. I felt like the hired help and wanted to quit, but no severance, so I stayed. Okay, so these are very interesting. The next question that was posed to them, what were Rachel's biggest requests? Uh-oh, this might not be something I want to read out loud, but here goes. Pizza and beer weekly. That is very true. Movie night Fridays. Check her business email and respond within a 24-hour time frame. No exceptions. Review her calendar daily. Be her business assistant around the clock. Now, that is definitely true. Did require a business assistant around the clock. Call or text family and friends daily with her status, including AM and PM updates. Wow, did I do that? I don't remember some of these things. I don't know. Remember to buy certain foods that she likes. No substitutes. Let me just stop right there. I do not like substitutes unless you call me and advise me what is available. You know, if I require a name brand and they don't have it, that requires a phone call. You just need to call me or text me and say, hey, this you did not, you wanted a specific thing, name brand. Hey, they do not have it. They have the generic. That's all I'm asking. I mean, just simple courtesy. You know, no big thing. Next is going to Ravens season opener. Yes, I did ask my doctor, and I know I asked family and friends. I always go to the Ravens season opener, okay? No fail, 7 years in a row. I'm there, section 114, no fail. And the year that I had the kidney transplant, the doctor said, too many people, you know, I was only maybe 5 weeks from surgery, and he felt that it was just too soon to be out in that type of a crowd, just a large crowd, you know, 50,000 people. That's a little too much. You're susceptible to, you know, more infections, and then, you know, someone sneezes on you, coughs on you. You just never know. So it was too much of a variable, and the doctor did not feel that it was something that I should be doing. So even though the doctor said no, I did try to, I guess, what would we say, persuade heavily family and friends that it was important that I go. And I did, big request, driving before my 6 weeks were up and going to the grocery store. Again, you're not supposed to drive within 4 to 6 weeks after your transplant. Your staples are still in from surgery, so you shouldn't be making any sudden movements. Suppose you have to stop really hard, hit the brake. That's something that you might not do in time when you have those staples on there. So I definitely did try to persuade family and friends again that, hey, it was okay. You know, let me just go down the street. It's just 5 minutes away. No, again, grocery store, let me just go. It's like 5 or 10 minutes down the street. Or, you know, when they were going to the grocery store, let me go with you. You're with me. No. You're still susceptible to infection in a grocery store environment. I remember the doctor told me that initially the only place that I should be going would be to the pharmacy on a limited basis if I needed to pick up some additional prescriptions. That is it. I did not need to travel to Walmart or anything just to walk around. That was not advisable. So, yes, I did try to, you know, heavily persuade family and friends to break this, but, you know, to no avail, they didn't do this. Now, the last question, oh, wow. How did you feel the day of Rachel's transplant? Okay. Scared and teary. I could not be there with her. Second, worried for her. This was not an easy surgery. Prayerful for her and her surgical/transplant team. Concerned. Suppose she had a complication and I could not get there in time. Wow. Cried. I was so happy for her. I knew how long she had waited for this transplant and what she had endured to get to this point. Oh, I'm sorry. She is soldado. That is Portuguese for soldier. Hopeful. Called the hospital directly to try and get an update with her doctors. I didn't know that this was going to affect me this emotionally. Sorry, you guys. Lonely. She was my person, and now she was in surgery. How was I going to cope? I had to be strong for her. She is my Rachel, and I love her. Second grade besties for life. And the last one, Te Amo, which means I love you in Spanish. Wow. Okay. So, family and friends, for the most part, I hope you had a positive experience. And I hope I was not too much of a burden. I know I can be a handful. I think my best friend Natalie said it best in her email that she wrote in her closing comments about being a part of the caregiving team, I guess if we can put it that way. And she said, the hardest part of taking care of a loved one is the unexpected. It's a role taken out of love and without thought, as it's a loved one. However, patience is required. The role is very important, and I realized it was very demanding as each day passed. To ensure medication is dispensed on time and accurately, meal preps, comfort, it all takes a great deal of physical effort to ensure comedy of pain in a quiet environment. Oh, there were nights I wanted to holler and cry, as it was very challenging in the initial phases. Yet as time went by, the scope of importance shone, and it was understood how important the role. Just want to take time out before I give my reaction, just to thank all my family and friends who helped me. I'm a very independent person, and of course, I think I can do it all. And I think what this showed me is that it took just more than myself to get through recovering from a kidney transplant. Even though in my mind, you know, you always have a plan, you're positive, you're motivated. I think for me, you know, cool and calm as always, that's just me. But when the surgeon came in and, you know, he talked to me about, you know, this is what's going to go on. The anesthesiologist is going to come out. He's going to talk to you about procedure at that time, you know, put a needle in your arm, give you some prep for medication. Of course, none of that. I've had surgery before, so that's not scary to me at all. You know, the anesthesiologist was wonderful, you know, took care of me and advised me that's what he would do when we got into the OR. But when the surgeon said, because you have had other surgeries, you know, for other things, I've had my appendix out and other various surgeries, that, you know, it might not take the customary 3.5 hours that it normally takes. Might be a little more difficult because, you know, I have scar tissue buildup. When I heard that, I was just like, what? What do you mean do I take a little long? You know, a sense of panic, you know, almost came over me. You know, I just remember thinking, what does he mean by it's going to take extra time? You know, all of a sudden now I'm kind of questioning my decision, what it meant. You know, was this too much? You know, was it too late to just change your mind? I mean, your feet's away from the OR and you're ready to go. I mean, everything is prepped. You're ready to go. The kidney's back there. And then, you know, you just get into a panic mode because your brain only hears that one thing. I had to stop and just focus on what was the big picture and say a prayer and as I always do, asked God to take care of me while I was in there, as he continued to take care of me while I was waiting for a kidney transplant. Every day while I was on dialysis, every day that I drove to and from work. So that brought back a sense of calm for me, but definitely a sense of panic. But I do hope that, you know, I was not too much, as I said, of a burden on family and friends, even though I know in their head they were probably screaming. But it was interesting to hear all their responses. And I'm actually encouraged by the responses I had. I know it's very hard being a caregiver to someone diagnosed with a debilitating disease. You'll be called on at a moment's notice to be there when they're at the lowest moment in their life. You have to sacrifice what you're doing to make sure that the person that you're caring for is taken care of. You have to really be selfish in that respect. When I set out on my kidney transplant journey, I knew that the caregivers would need to be doing certain tasks on a daily basis that unfortunately I could not do. And that was be my driver, go to pre-transplant meetings with me, wait on me during the day of surgery, be my eyes and ears to understand the procedure, the medications, the side effects, the recovery time, what was going to happen in the OR, to attending the first transplant meeting, participating in the educational meetings at the hospital, calling and texting loved ones, which, you know, some loved ones want to be informed every 15 minutes. I won't mention any names. Some loved ones require more follow-ups than others. Let's just say that. And then the day of surgery, of course, everyone wants to come. Everyone, you know, but there had to be a limited amount of people coming the day of surgery. And then once I was actually in ICU for 24 hours and then to a room, there could be limited amount of people in the room due to the susceptibility of infection. So that meant fielding calls and telling people, hey, you cannot come and visit. Even after I left the hospital, fielding calls and texts and telling them, hey, unfortunately, you know, she can't have visitors. So that's very, very challenging. You also had to provide an emotional support and encouragement daily, weekly, monthly, continuously, even now after, you know, we're almost to 2 years post-transplant, which will be actually in 6 days. It's hard to believe. July 27th of 2016 is when I had my surgery. And for all those family and friends that did mention in their comments that I am extra, I do embrace that title. To me, what that means is I am seeking a higher level of quality in my everyday life. I don't settle for mediocrity. So I recognize that I can be a handful when I'm not feeling 100%. I experienced a lot of pain when I slept. It was hard for me to kind of get comfortable because of the incision I had. I could only lay down propped up on my right side due to my stitches and, you know, very uncomfortable, of course, cranky. Some days I did not want to get up, but my caregivers would remind me of the importance of walking in the healing process, and also offer me words of encouragement, even through emails, calls, texts, posting the Facebook. You know, I posted various pictures of myself when I would be outside, just to keep people updated on what was going on with me. So I felt the love every day, and I still continue to feel the love regarding the journey. And I appreciate everything that everyone has done for me. As I said earlier, I'm a very independent person, but I had to recognize that I needed to yield for some help. And, you know, it wasn't hard to get help, of course, but of course in your mind, you're thinking you don't need help. You've done it this long by yourself. You just continue, you know, to do it by yourself. But sometimes you do have to step back and accept the help for what it is. And I appreciate that from everyone. I thank everyone for, you know, being a part of my caregiver team, the people who were here, the people that were out of town but checked on me, and everything they did. Today, I do want to encourage everyone to take advantage of Walmart's Wellness Day. I know in my area that is happening today at the Germantown, Maryland location. It happened from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. If you're just hearing this, you might have missed it, but check in your local area for availability. I know they will be having another one next month. What it is going to offer is free health screenings. They'll do a consultation with your pharmacist. You can go over your medications. They also will be doing low-cost immunizations, so check out your stores for more detail on that. Again, I am not a sponsor for Walmart. That is my disclaimer. I'm not a sponsor for Walmart. So just so you know that. To hire me to speak at your event, if you want me to host your next event or for a business partnership with me, you can give me a contact on Facebook at Rachel Wright. Contact me on Twitter at Rachel Chats, on Instagram at Rachel W. Chats, or my website at www.rachelchats.com. Maybe you're not on social media. Jen, that's for you. Get on social media. Call me at 301-693-7792. Again, this has been a wonderful show. I appreciate so much family and friends being honest about their experience and how it was for them to take care of a loved one that is recovering from a kidney transplant. Thank you so much for listening to this show. I will be back next Saturday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Look out for my Survivor show that's going to be coming up soon. Again, a thank you to Candace George at Entrepreneurs in Power. Check out her website, Fashions, that she is offering on imprintfashions.com, or go visit her store at Patapsco Flea Market. Again, I thank her so much for allowing her to let me host my own show on Blog Talk Radio. And once again, I just want to let everyone know I appreciate you, love you guys. Thank you for supporting Rachel Chats. Have a great week and be right.